In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, And the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption. By his glorious resurrection, you delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, that we may live with him forever in the joy of the resurrection. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you.
Peter began to speak to the people. I truly understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear. Not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord. Congregation, please read the bold print of the psalm. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly.
I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord.
The Lord indeed punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death.
Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. Here the righteous may enter. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
By the Lord, it is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A reading from Colossians. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly, tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. Seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
On Maundy Thursday, I was trying to explain the significance of the stripping of the altar to my children. One of them asked, "So is Jesus up there?" Perhaps it's my pastor brain, but for me that wasn't a yes or no question. Then on Good Friday, we were talking about its significance, to which one asks if we're going to see Jesus on the cross when we get to worship. And then when they came in to the church building and saw the big cross that we bring in on Good Friday, one of them touched the cross and said, "Is this the cross that Jesus was crucified on?" I think one of them was really interested to see if an alternate ending would have been possible as we entered into Good Friday and had an open mind to see how things could play out. We tend to look at Christmas through the eyes of children, but I'm not sure if we do that enough with Holy Week and Easter. Their literal understanding of some things coupled with their imagination provide interesting questions and an invitation to ponder this holy mystery. Because that's not a kid question. Where is Jesus? That's a question we all ask. Maybe they're bold enough to ask it. The author of Colossians gives us an image that provides, appearingly, a geographic location. We have an image of Jesus at the right hand of God, which is something we say in the creed regularly, seated at the right hand of the Father. The image of Christ being raised and seated is to witness to the reality that Christ is no longer subject to death. And since we see the universe differently, as the author of Colossians, it might make more sense to use language that Jesus is beyond death. We shouldn't get caught up in the geography. The underlining point here is the author of Colossians is trying to tell us not where Jesus is, but who Jesus is. Where are we? Who are we? Do we experience God's abiding presence, or do we see God at a distance? Is Jesus always present in our lives, or is Jesus nothing more than wallpaper, part of the makeup of the background in our lives that contributes to our identity in the world? Because what we hear in the scripture, being raised with Christ Jesus, means that we are with Jesus now. And this lesson certainly ties into our baptismal theology, that in those waters of holy baptism, we have died and we have risen with Christ. We are joined to Christ. There's nothing that divides us from the divine in Jesus Christ. This is where we can boldly say that we are truly heaven and earth people. And in the Christian life, we strive to embody that reality, that there is no longer division between heaven and earth, life and death. It is destroyed by the love of Jesus in his death and resurrection. That being raised with Christ and invited to seek things that are above means that we are part of the answer to the prayer that it would be on earth as it is in heaven. And that our commitment to justice and liberation of the oppressed in this world is because we are joined to Christ who destroys love, who destroys fear with love, whose welcome dismantles segregation, whose peace overcomes hate, and whose death gives us eternal life. How then shall we live, beloved children of God? Our worship orients us to such a life. At the great Thanksgiving at Holy Communion, the presider says, "Lift up your hearts," and your response is, "We lift them up to the Lord." As we heard in Colossians, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We aren't going to go out and seek and find Jesus in that way. Again, we're given a geographic orientation, but the point here is to orient your lives to the way of Jesus in whom we've been joined to. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things on earth. Again, that direction to above is more of an orientation of needing to reset. How often have you had to reset a device that wasn't working, right? Then when you do the reset, you have to reprogram it, right? Got to get those settings to where you liked them before you did that reset. So when we are off the path, when we're not following the way of Jesus, we need to reorient, we need to reset, or to use churchy language, we need to repent. We need to turn back towards Christ. And since we share that status and location with Christ, it is in worship that we get that much needed reset. We hear God's word of forgiveness. We receive the good news. And we are fed with the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation, assured of Jesus' real presence in those gifts of bread and wine. For we are with Christ, and Christ is with us. And it's experienced in a particular way as we gather as church and experience those means of grace in word and sacrament. The good news of the resurrection is not a piece of information or an event that only matters when we take our last breath. The good news of the resurrection changes everything for us. Yet we live in a world that can often be disorienting. We're told to fear so much in this world, we can even be convinced to be afraid of one another. We see so much senseless pain, suffering, and death in the world, and people will ask us, "Where is Jesus? Where is God? And some see Christians in our society causing and inflicting more pain and division. And in longing to see more Christians bear witness and embody the way of Jesus and whom we've been joined to, they ask, where are we in all of this pain and suffering and death and destruction in the world? The first Easter was disorienting. As the women at the tomb were trying to make sense of the tragedy of the crucifixion, I'm sure they wondered, where was God in all of this? Only to find that God was with them in a way beyond that they could have expected. In encountering the empty tomb, the angel and Jesus, they were reoriented to the way of Jesus, finding themselves worshiping him. Jesus is with them. But they are still going to be followers of Jesus, joined to Jesus in this world that get disoriented. We get disoriented all the time. We hear in our gospel lesson the angel say those notorious words, "Do not be afraid." At Christmas, we hear an angel say those words to the shepherds at the announcement that the Messiah has been born. At Easter, we hear an angel say those words at the announcement that our Lord has been raised. And then Jesus also says those words, assuring them not to be afraid and that they will see him. I have learned as a parent that there are many times where I need to assure my children that they don't need to be afraid in certain situations, that it's okay. It's going to be okay. The assurance coming from mom and dad makes a difference. Doesn't mean that they fully understand what's going on. What they know and no longer need to be afraid, why they no longer need to be afraid is because they trust us. And that's a life of faith. Not understanding it all, not knowing how it's all going to play out in the future, but trusting the one who tells us, do not be afraid. It's going to be okay. Søren Kierkegaard argued this point, that the source of words makes a difference. He argues, for example, that a theology student can say there's eternal life. But when God's own son says there is eternal life, those words may be equally true. But there's an important difference with the one who says it with authority. We enter into this world no longer afraid. And when we trust Jesus, we too will see him in the world. He is our Emmanuel, God with us. So we see him in the Word. We see Jesus in the sacraments. We see Jesus in the love we share. We see Jesus in the love we receive. We see Jesus in the face of others. We see Jesus in this broken world. And the more we see Jesus, the less disoriented we become, and the more we find ourselves and our lives oriented towards Christ. That the resurrection of Christ, again, is not just an event that happened in the past, it only matters to us in the future when we take our last breath, but it transforms us right here and right now. That in a dark and broken world that is afraid, that is disoriented, and you've heard me say many times, we are an Easter people living in a Good Friday world. And like those women at the tomb, we go out into the world and announce and share that good news and that love of Jesus. For we trust the one who has died. We trust the one who is risen. We trust the one who promises to be with us always, to not be afraid, because we are raised with Christ. And because we are raised with Christ, we go out into the world living lives of joy. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen.
believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one baptism of the Holy Spirit, one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, with the incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, and our hopes were searched. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
United in the hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. You call your church to witness to your salvation. We give thanks for Dietrich Bonhoeffer, all theologians, preachers, and teachers who proclaim your gospel. Equip all the baptized to share the joy of the resurrection in all we say and do. Risen Lord, in your mercy. You bring abundant life throughout creation. The green blade rises and all creation greets resurrection dawn. Preserve vineyards and orchards and those who tend to them. Feed us with the fruits of creation. Risen Lord, in your mercy. You show your steadfast love without regard to borders, barriers, or human-made divisions. Infuse your justice in every nation of the world, that all experience the peace that only you can give. Risen Lord, in your mercy. You anointed your Son with the Holy Spirit and with power. Encourage us by his example in our ministries of healing, care, and outreach. We pray for all who are sick or hospitalized, especially Charlie, Justin, Tracy, Mike, Donna, Joellen, Maddie, Scott, Marjorie, Pat, Dixon, Pat and Charlie, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Marcus, Ella, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Lucas, John, Diane, Kelly, Diane, Carol, and our homebound. And for all healthcare workers who care for them, risen Lord, in your mercy. You have put gladness in our hearts, inspired musicians and dancers to rejoice with songs of victory. Bless the music ministries of this congregation and all who foster our assembly's song. Risen Lord, in your mercy. As you have raised Jesus from the dead, you show us your resurrection promise. With your holy ones, you have sung your praise. Free us from fear and empower us to go and tell the good news. Risen Lord, in your mercy.
Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace.
Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me all the way. When at last I come to die, he will take me home on high. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day, you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy One, Mighty One, Merciful One, we give you thanks, for you are the one who brings life out of death. In the beginning, when there was nothing, you spoke, and the whole universe came into being. You quieted chaos and pierced the darkness with your life-giving light. When waves of wickedness threatened to drown your world, you sent the flood to destroy sin and save your good creation. When your people cried out to you from the depths of slavery in Egypt, you gave us a meal and set us free. When we were dry bones in a valley, you sent your life-giving spirit to raise us up and to put a new heart and spirit in us. And in these last days, you have given us Jesus, your Son, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who willing gave his life on the cross to show us the fullness of your love, and who rose from the grave, destroying the power of death. And now you invite us to this feast of your victory over the grave. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this, the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Pour out your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of our Lord and of his resurrection, upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that we might receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thine will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, broke it, and gave it to them. You may be seated. This time, I'd like to invite forward our communion assistants and anyone participating in Children's Church. Distribution of the Sacrament of Holy Communion will be continuous. They'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. We'll have two stations for consecrated wine and one station for grape juice, and that will be on the pulpit side. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Just come forward. We just take a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. You have been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go, tell the whole world of his love.
Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
Amen. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.